World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, I ain't gonna mess around with any time here this morning, man. Got too much to do, too much to talk about. And listen, no, I'm not going to focus on what's going on in Minnesota. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Folks, you better understand this right up front. That is all bait and switch. And the bait and switch is this. They want to hide how much they've ripped us all off. That's why they're making this all about the riots and the shooting of the guy and all that stuff. When in fact, we know that Governor Waltz and those guys, it's a distraction because they're elbow deep in fraud. That's what's going on. And they're doing everything they can to discredit. So I'm not going to play into it today, okay? I'm not going to play into it. I've been working hard. I was up early this morning. I got some great stuff with you today. And I'm going to show you this just before I dive into what I want to dive into, all right? Play another ripoff. I just saw this go back to Kitco real quick. I'm going to go here this morning. Gold is up, huh? Gold is almost $5,100 for gold. $5,100. Silver is $109. And friends, I'm telling you, it's just getting started. It is just getting started. Still telling you, most people don't have any idea gold and silver. And if you're listening to this show, and if you listened to me 6 months ago when I was telling you, you got yourself a pretty good little nest egg right now, I think, probably. Look at this, folks. Who would have thought these non-government organizations are of the devil, okay? Well, they got us focusing on the second largest Somali population is in Columbus, Ohio. They're ripping us off millions and millions of dollars. The largest is in Minnesota. And we see what's going on in Minnesota. They're not talking about the money. The governor's talking about how we're un-American. Well, hell yes. He's ripped us off for how many billions of dollars? They want to distract us from us. And then just in case you thought it was just Minnesota and Ohio, play this real quick. How about 1.5 million nonprofits in the United States? Go ahead and play it. Go ahead.
Now on to another Fox News alert. The feds just busted a California charity executive accused of stealing millions from the not-profit he runs. National correspondent Matt Finn has the details. Matt.
Exclusive video of the feds' early morning bust of a California man prosecutors say brazenly misused up to $23 million state taxpayer dollars meant for the homeless to piggy bank a lavish lifestyle, including a $7 million Los Angeles.
So it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. But that's not where I want to go today. Friends, it is everywhere. And at some point, we're going to have to wake up and we're going to have to decide that we're not going to play the game anymore. We're not going to play the game anymore. And we do know this, don't we? They are so caught that now they're going to give us a new kind of monetary system. They give us a new kind of monetary system, and then they're never going to be held responsible for all the graft and everything they did. So I'm going to give you some Bible today. You're going to enjoy it. I think you are. I don't know if you're going to enjoy it. It's going to make you sick to your stomach, really. Okay, let me see here. Just in case you wondered, I got to throw this up there. Pull up Jack DePalma, paid writer. Pull that one up there, just so you know what's really going on up in Minnesota. You see it there, Spencer? Jack DePalma, paid rioter. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Watch this here. Look, this is the last thing we'll talk about this. I'm going somewhere else. Watch this. Go ahead.
Around and I
no,
said...
No, Nate, I realize what a bullshit artist you are.
Okay,
Put that in the video. I'm not going to attack him. I'd attack you first because I'd be that stupid.
Do what you got to do. Don't antagonize him.
I didn't do anything.
Okay.
I know, but that was like...
We were facing this way.
They were facing me. You can clearly see that when he charged at me, that the police here saw it. Luckily, my security guard prevented things from escalating any further. As for the guy who came at us, his name is Jack DePalma, and he's a radical, violent leftist. Jack DePalma is a retired teacher. Of 30 years, board member of the Science Council of New York, and New York City Department of Education employee who also currently tutors children in New York. Jack has spent nearly his entire adult life supported by the American taxpayer, with his New York City education position earning him a cushy six-figure income all the way back in 2010. Jack is an avid promoter.
Get it off there. Paid protesters. Folks, these people in Minnesota are paid protesters. They're paid. Are you with me? Yeah, Paul, he tutors our children. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine it? And folks, it's all distraction. Okay, so Coach, what do you seem fired up? Yeah, I'm fired up today. Paul, hey, real quickly, Spencer, got to get this out of the way. Pictures of protesters. Could you pull that one up for me? There they are. These are the people they're arresting. Look at that, folks. Do you think these people are just so morally honest and above good that they want that they care about the? Think they care about the Somalis? Think so? Huh? Boy, are we being fed a bunch of crap 24/7 by the media. Look at those people. Look of them. They can't even spell job. They can't even spell job. And the media wants you to think that all the people in Minnesota are upset with what's going on, and it isn't. It's these paid people that they've farmed in. Okay, I'm done talking about that. Here's where we're going to go today, okay? This is critically important that you guys get this. Pull up for me stuff, okay? Pull up for me, it says this stuff. You don't have to pull it up. I'm pulling it up. I'm sorry. Okay. Here we go. You ready? I got so much stuff I got to show. Just so much stuff. What does, pull up for me number three. What is usury? What is usury? The definition, how it works, legality, and the example. Folks, listen, usury is interest. They used to call them loan sharks. By the way, when Jesus went in and cleared the temple, what did he clear the temple of? They were called money changers. Money changers. Money changers. What? Because they were charging usury. Hey, don't go away. You're going to want to stay here. I'm telling you. Scroll down. What is usury? What is usury? Scroll down. Let's go real slow here. I'm going to put all this in there. Usury is the act of lending money at an interest rate that is considered unreasonably high or that is higher than the rate permitted by law. Usury first became common in England under King Henry VIII, and it originally pertained to charging an amount of interest on loaned funds. Over time, it evolved to mean charging excessive interest. But in some religions and part of the world, charging any interest is considered illegal. Did you know charging interest is illegal? Did you know that charging interest was illegal back in the time of Jesus? Do you know that when Jesus went and flipped over the tables, it was because of the money changers? Usury is the act of lending money at an interest rate that is considered unreasonably high. Anybody got a credit card with 18% interest on it? It first became common in England. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam especially take a very strong stance against usury. The borrower is slave to the lender. Today, usury laws help protect investors from predatory lenders. States set up their own usury laws and result each one. So understanding what usury is, scrolling down, I'm going faster, okay? Usury is charging interest on loans. However, throughout history, certain religions have abstained from usury altogether, as charging interest went against the core principles of their religion. Specifically, down to bottom, specifically, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam take a very strong stance against usury. Can somebody explain to me how the hell we're letting these banks charge us this interest? Huh? What happened to our Christian nation? Several passages in the Old Testament condemn the practice of usury. In other words, the Jews weren't allowed to do it either. Now they're leading the charge. to condemn the practice of usury, especially when lending to less wealthy individuals without access to more secure means of financing. In the Jewish community, this created the rule of lending money at interest only to outsiders. They didn't charge interest to each other. The Old Testament's condemnation usury also led to the Christian tradition against money lending, and some Christians believe that those who lend should not expect anything in return. Protestant Reformation 16th century brought about a distinction between usury charging high interest rates and the more acceptable lending of money at low interest rates. So they have to charge high interest rates because the money's not real, okay? Now, I'm going to put it in the chat. Predatory. A usury has predatory lending laws, right? Okay, let me show you something here. Hang on. I'm sorry, I'm so organized. I'm disorganized here for a second. That ought to be it right here. Pull up for me. Wow, got to show you this. I'm not done. Stay with me. Pull up number 9. Pull up number 9. Did you guys know this? You guys know this? Mortgage calculator, all right? Y'all sitting out there paying your mortgage? Y'all got your kids who you've raised to go to work, get a nice job, build a home, the American dream. Anybody got any of those out there? Okay, well, did you know on this 30-year mortgage calculator that I happened to pull up today? If your daughter or your son are trying to get started in life and they go out and they want to buy their home, so they go out and the home's worth $300,000. That's pretty normal, isn't it? $300,000? Yeah, pretty normal. But they have to have a down payment. And so they have to borrow $255,000 for 30 years. 30 years. At an interest rate of only 5%. Well, that's nothing, is it? Only 5%. But now they're like 8%, 7%, whatever. They have to pay home insurance, yada, yada, yada. So let's go down and see what their, let's see what their payment is. Scroll down, Spence. Sure. Keep going. Okay, so here we go. So your children and my children, they go out and they borrow, their home's worth $300,000. They borrow $255,000. They get a mortgage payment of $1,360. Are you guys following with me here? Anybody following with me here? They get a monthly principal of $1,360. You got to pay almost $1,400 a month. The monthly tax is $250. The home insurance is $125. Their home of blah, blah, blah. Their monthly payment is $1,850. You ready? 360 payments. Start on January 2026. Pay it off in 2055. The down payment was $45,000. The principal was $255,000. The interest they paid was, can you highlight that, Spencer? The usury, the interest they paid was $237,802.25. Huh? Money changers, folks. Look at this. The total of all their payments, $677,583.50 for a $255,000 loan. How'd this happen to us? How did this happen to us? Why is this even legal that they can do this, charge this kind of interest, and get away with it? Okay, hang on. I'm going to show you why. Hang on, Spence. What does number 4 say? What's the Bible say about usury? What's the Bible say about number 4? If you lend money to any of my people, with you who is poor, you shall not be like the money lender to him. And you shall not exact interest from him. Bible says no interest. Psalm, who does not put out his own money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. Proverbs, whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it from him who is generous to the poor. Ezekiel lends at interest and takes profit. Shall he then live? Oh, no, he shall not live. Somebody who lends at interest and takes a profit, he has done all these abominable. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon himself. That's Old Testament. Deuteronomy, you shall not charge interest on loans to your brother, interest on money, interest on food, interest on anything that is lent for interest. Ezekiel says, if you take bribes to shed blood, you take interest and profit and make gain of your neighbors by extortion. But me you have forgotten, declares the Lord God. Take no interest from him or profit, but fear God that your brother may live beside you. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers on my coming, and I should have received what was my own with interest. Going down, it's all down through there. You shall not lend him money at interest, nor give food from profit. Give your food for profit. You may charge a foreigner interest, but you may not charge your brother interest. I took counsel of myself, and I brought charges against the nobles and officials. I said to them, you're exacting interest each from his brother, and I held a great assembly against them. Am I picking this up yet? I'm not done yet. They say, well, Lord, the Christians, Romans 13. Pull up Romans 13. Pull up number 5, Romans 13. I'm going to open it up here in a second. I'm just trying to lay the groundwork here. All right? This is what they bang you over the head with. This is what the pastors bang you over the head with. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Though there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever there resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Watch, watch, watch! For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will then you then be afraid of the power? Do good! And you shall have the praise of the officials. Why? For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Government's minister of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, you ought to be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. The government is the minister of God, a revenger to execute on wrath upon him that doeth evil. Does anybody see that? So up in Minnesota, they're arresting the people who are standing up against the illegals coming in, and government is on the side of evil. You see it? And Christians are on the side of evil. Christians are on the side of evil.
Boom.
For this cause, pay you tribute also. For what? For the government are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Get Romans 13 out of there. You don't ignore it anyway. Pastor tells you got to pay. Yeah, good citizens pay money. Good citizens don't pay money to criminal enterprises known as government. Sorry, friends. Okay, hang on. I'm still rolling here. What did Jesus say? Jesus said to pay taxes, didn't he? Well, pull up number 6. Jesus said, pay your taxes. Jesus, they collected taxes. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They're going to kill him, and on the third day he's going to be raised. And they were exceedingly sorry. He's telling his buddies, hey, they're going to whack me here. I'm going to get whacked. So he's out on the boats with them. He says, they're going to kill me. And when they got off the boat in Capernaum, they that received tribute, tax collectors, IRS, came to Peter and says, hey, does Jesus pay taxes? Huh? And Peter says, yeah. And when he has come into the house, Jesus pulled Peter aside and said, pardon me here, what the hell's wrong with you, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take taxes? Of their own children or strangers? Peter said to him, oh, of strangers. And Jesus said to him, then the children are free. But folks, let that sink in. Jesus didn't tell you to pay taxes. He said your children are free. But watch, watch. Notwithstanding, Jesus said, I don't want to give them a reason to arrest me. I don't want them to come after me. I'm not going to die for taxes. So because I don't want to give them something to get a hook in me, I'm going to go ahead and pay him. But you don't have to. He said, here's what I want you to do. Because I don't want them arresting us. I want you to go out in the sea, and I want you to throw a fish line out there, and I want you to catch a fish when it first cometh up. And when you open his mouth, you're going to find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for all of us. Your pastor standing in the pulpit telling you you're supposed to pay taxes. It's a good, it's your American duty. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, hang on. Number 7. Anybody ever heard one of these? Jack, I know you have. Sorry, I'm yelling. I'm feeling. I'm been boxed in here in the snowmageddon here for 3 days. You guys know what a silver certificate is? You guys know what a silver certificate is? Silver certificates. Why were they issued and how much are they worth? Here's a picture of a silver certificate. Look, scroll down, Spencer. I'm not going to take all the time reading this. You guys got to do this on yourself. What is a silver certificate? Well, a silver certificate is a type of U.S. paper currency. It was money from 1878 to 1964. It was initially redeemable for silver dollars or silver bullion. Friends, when they gave you a silver certificate, Spencer, scroll down a minute, see if we can see a picture of a silver certificate. Keep going. There it is. There it is. There it is. And what did it say on it? What you could do with a silver certificate? You could take, Spencer, can you make that bigger? Because at the top it says right there, this certifies that there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America, $1 in silver.
Boom.
You could go to the bank and give them your dollar and they would give you silver. Did you know that? It's called a silver certificate. Silver certificate. I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to open it up here in a second. Right. Make it a little bit small. Hey, Spencer, I'm going to send you a tip. This is really good. That is the silver certificate, okay? Did you guys understand it? It was a promissory note. Somebody gave you a dollar. You could go get a dollar's worth of silver at the bank. Somebody gave you $10, you could go get $10 worth of silver at the bank. It was redeemable for some. It was a coupon. And then they decided we'd quit doing that. Yeah, we quit doing that. We're not going to do that. We're going to take gold and silver out as the backing of the dollar, and we'll just print monies. We'll just print money. And we'll just call it a U.S. dollar. Anybody got a U.S. dollar? I used to have one floating around. Yeah, here it is. You used to say, look on the front of the dollar. Spencer, see if you can find it. It says this is payable, redeemable in gold and silver on the front of it. I don't know. You're doing great, Spencer. I'm not mad at you. See if you can, there it is. Make that big. That's an old one. Wait a minute, maybe it says it at the top. Anyway, redeemable in gold and silver. Hey, here's the new one. Here's the new dollar. You ready? What it says? This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. They took the silver off of it. And they made this nothing. Are you going with me? That's why gold and silver is going through the moon. So put Kitco back up there. For those of you who don't know where to find out Kitco, hey, folks, gold today is up $111 just today. Almost $5,100. Silver, look at that, is over $110. It's up $7.47 today. Now, listen, you better understand this. The average American still ain't got any idea. They got no idea. Oh, there it is. Spencer, look, what's it say over there? Redeemable. Highlight that, Spencer. Just point at it so everybody can see. Up at the top, Spencer. Down, right there. Redeemable in gold on demand, the United States Treasury. Gold or lawful money. Federal Reserve note. Done away in when? And by Jack, when did they do away with that, Jack? When did all of a sudden, nah, we ain't backing that anymore.
1965.
What's that?
1965. Because they knew they were going to close the gold window in 71.
Okay, now hang on. I got a couple more things, okay? Hang on. Pull up Jekyll Island. Pull up Jekyll Island.
Hey, you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Before you move forward, whenever they took and gave out promissory notes, why did they do that? Whenever they gave out silver certificates, why did they do that? All right, think about it. Before then, people had their silver and gold. They kept it. Right. But they had to get it away from the people. So the bank, and what was happening is people were getting robbed. You know, people would find gold, people would trade silver, and then they'd get robbed. So, of course, here comes the bank with the guard. So we'll give you a silver certificate, and we'll hold it.
Yep.
We'll protect it. And
we'll
then
put it in the bank and keep it safe for you.
And then those silver certificates started basically being stolen, too. Now, during that time, the bank started centralizing all the silver and gold they collected, only keeping a little bit on hand. So during that time, before those silver certificates, people leaned on the banks for protection. They collected it all, ends up in Fort Knox, right? And then the government decides it ain't enough for everyone. And then they issued those promissory notes. It was all driven by the money leaking out of that whole system by the government, Coach. Yep, and we all know that all that gold's not available and all that silver's not available now. And that's why it's $50, $100 an ounce now, Coach.
And it's going higher. It's going to go higher, folks.
And going higher. It ain't there. It ain't there no more. We've used it in industry to build semiconductors. We don't have any of that gold and silver, and that's why it's at premium price.
Amen. Amen. So hang on. Let's go to number two real quick. This is the creature from Jekyll Island. G. Edward Griffin. You guys know what happened to Jekyll Island? It's where they did. Okay. Well, I'll get back to that. Are you ready, folks? The Constitution's seven money clauses. And they protect liberty and prosperity. Hey, is this a hell of a show or what? Huh? Is this a hell of a show? The seven. They protect liberty and prosperity. Here's what I'm heading. Are you ready for this? I got to tell you this. I just found this out. If you want to sell your silver and gold, you got to pay taxes on the profit. They devalued the coins. They devalued it. And now they want to call capital gains because you were smart enough to have sold silver. By the way, gold and silver are legal money. We can't fall for this crap, folks. Taxes? I got to pay capital gains on their own dollar? They printed it. And they said it's an investment? No, it ain't an investment. I just saved some money.
Is that if you turn it under 2 years or any time? Usually if capital gains is if you buy something and turn it below 24 months, you got to pay it. Is that the way it is, Coach?
I got to do some checking on that, Mark, because there's a lot of us who are going to want to cash it in. And you tell me something. If Gene Schroeder wants to give me $100 for a piece of silver, is it any of the government's damn business? What the hell's wrong with us? Seven clauses of the United States Constitution on questions that might be described as relating to monetary policy. Properly interpreted, these seven clauses together form a system of rules that strongly protects economic prosperity and political liability. See, they don't want you to, they want to make Minnesota about Somalians, and it isn't. It's about the money they've stolen up there. That's why they're scrambling so hard. They can't make it about what the government did. And Trump's going to do it. Huh? He's going to do it. By the way, if you go to a riot, do you carry a gun? If you're going to go protest the police, are you going to carry a gun? I don't care if you unholster it. I don't care if you have a concealed carry. Do you think anything good, if you're going to go to a protest against the police, do you think anything good's going to happen if you carry a gun? Okay, so here we go. The seven clauses. Four of the clauses include the word money, three, the word coin, and two, the word dollars. So here are the seven money clauses in the U.S. Constitution. I'm going to open it up here, and I promise. Now, Article 1, you can read them. Congress shall have money, have power to borrow money on the credit of the United States. The Federal Reserve is not an entity of the United States government. Congress shall have power to coin money, not print it. Regulate the value thereof. Not the Federal Reserve. They don't have the power to regulate the value thereof. The Federal Reserve doesn't do that. Congress shall have power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin, and fix the standards of weights and measures. Article 1, Section 5. Congress, 3, shall have the power to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting. Folks, that's a counterfeit. That's a counterfeit. Counterfeiting securities and current coin of the United States. Number 4, no money shall be drawn from the treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law. 5, the migration or importation of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by the Congress prior to the year 1808. But a tax or duty may be imposed on these people that they're importing, not exceeding $10 for each person. You understand that they said you just can't come walking in here. The Constitution, you got to pay a fee. You want to be an American. Number 6. Somebody reinforce me. Say, give me a thumbs up. Say, Coach, I never knew any of this stuff. I never knew any of this stuff, Coach. This is unbelievable. My pastor's never said a word about this, except the tithe. He wants his 10%. But he hasn't said anything about the 10% you're getting ripped off on. How about this one? No state shall coin money. Folks, coin, silver, gold, coin. No state shall coin money, emit bills of credit, or make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Pretty clear, isn't it? That pretty clear? Then they started giving us paper money. Remember the saying, phony as a continental? Anybody remember that? Phony as a continental? Why? Because the Confederates printed fake money. And then when the North won the Civil War, the continental dollar was worthless. Phony as a continental. Right here. Phony as a continental. Last one. In suits of common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. Hey, folks, you get a traffic ticket and they're going to fine you more than $20, you got the right to a trial by jury. Come on in. I took a deep breath here. Let me see. Got anybody up here? Yeah, we got some more people up here. Let me see. All right. Come on in, Martin and Gene. Tell us your story, not your life story.
Oh, wow. Coach, what, you know, we need to put this show all over the internet, all over socials, Coach. Thank you so much for addressing this. I just wanted to come back to the Bible. That's one of my passions. You mentioned Romans 13, sir, earlier. There's also two other passages, but nobody reads the Bible anymore. It's in Titus and also in 1 Peter. And you got to remember, folks, Paul wrote under a imperialistic monarchism in the first century. Let that sink in. Okay. We now in the 21st century, okay, in the United States of America, we live under a new form of government. It's called the United States Constitution. We've got three separate forms of governing bodies: executive, legislative, judicial. And we can fight this stuff. We can
say, judicial, you know, runs everything. The only unelected branch runs everything.
God bless you, Coach.
Thanks. Gino.
Yeah, I don't want to. I put my hand up so long ago, and you're so right on, Coach, and I don't want to break our thought.
Go ahead, anyway, brother. Go ahead.
When you go back to the bank, when you borrow that money for that house, what do they loan you? They don't loan you anything.
Nothing. They don't even have the money, Gino.
They don't have the money. They don't have the money until you put your signature on there. You're the creditor.
They don't even have it then. They got digits.
You're not the debtor. You're the creditor. You created that money.
They
and
got
you're
digits.
Paying it again.
Do you think that your local bank, friends, tell me you're smarter than this. Do you think the local bank where you got your mortgage, do you think they have money in the bank for everybody's mortgage? You think it got in there? No. No, they're pulling your leg, man. They're loaning you paper and making you pay interest on paper.
And another thing you didn't bring out, that's a Federal Reserve note. That's a debt. You can't pay a debt with a debt.
Can't
That's unconstitutional. And then they wanted you to pay taxes on that debt.
Hey, Gene, they want me to pay taxes on gold and silver, which they have destroyed. They've devalued it.
They have no authority.
I'm smart enough to have it, and they want me to pay taxes on it.
They don't have any authority. We just got to say no. We the people.
Fractional banking. It is a... Oh, Lord, do I have to say it? Do I have to? Who are the money changers, friends? Who are the money changers? I'll just let you ask yourself that. Who are the money changers in the Bible? Some things never change. Some things never change. But Let me tell you this. I've had people, I don't want this to sound snotty or snooty or anything. I've had people in the queue that I know and that I trust. You say, Coach, I got a bill I got to pay. And I don't have it. And you have paid that bill for them. And ask them to pay me back. Pay me only $10 a month, whatever you can afford. Pay me back. Because if you pay us back, I can help the next person. I don't want any interest from you. I don't want any interest from you. We have a Bible says bring all the tithe into the storehouse. There'd be meat in the house. Meat in the house. There's meat in this house here. There's meat here. But here's what it is. If we help you out and pay a bill, are you going to pay us back? You get it? You get this, right? You understand what I'm talking about here? Don't charge interest. Don't make you be a member. Come on in, Dave Alvin.
Yeah, tell your pastor that you're paying your taxes with a biblical principle. I like that, really do. There's a good biblical principle there. I go fishing.
To a righteous government.
No, I do it Jesus way, Coach. I go fishing, and whatever coin that I pull out of the mouth of that fish, I give that to the government. And I give 10%, and I give 10% to the church.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm eating good, but I haven't really pulled up much money lately.
There ain't any fish. I ain't been catching any fish, right? Amen.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm catching the fish. I'm eating good, but no more silver or gold yet, Pastor. Sorry.
Amen. So, hey, listen. So you get all excited. I get all excited about, man, I'm watching gold and silver going up. I don't know what you guys are thinking. I said, man, I can get out of debt. 28% to the government.
We don't have no debt.
No, we don't have any. We clearly don't have any debt because look up in Minnesota. Look in Columbus. Look at what we just read. Money's fucked. Money is only there to control us. That's all it's there for. That's all it's there for. Randy.
Coach, Isaiah 24:6, God is dealing with this. Isaiah is talking about the judgment that's going to come and what it did. But it says this. It says, the curse has devoured the earth. The curse. Now look, in Christ, we take the curse off of us, right, Coach? But we still have to change some of our ways. And some of those are our economic system that we're in and that we use and we think is okay. So in other words, the contradiction that we Christians are in, the problem here is that they're using a system that is in a curse. And they're trying to say, well, I'm under Christ now. I'm not cursed. Well, I'm sorry. He didn't play that game. He wasn't in that system either. So you got to see what's real, Coach. And throughout history, if you just read the history and you don't even care about ethnicity, period, but just read history and you're going to be kind of alarmed. But everywhere that Jewry went through history, they were the money changers, Coach. I'm sorry, but yep, they were the money changers. Now and I'll they were thrown that, out now eventually. They were thrown out, and then they would come back through other kings and other monarchies and get back in and start their system again. But if you don't believe me, just read history. I'm not being I'm not being a Jew basher here. I'm just telling you what history
is. It's just the truth, dude. It's just the truth, right? It's just the truth. You can take it as Jew bashing if you want to. If you've been programmed that much, then anytime somebody criticizes Israel, the Jews, you take it as Jew bashing and anti-Semitic. You're the most programmed person in the world.
Coach, the Federal Reserve was founded by, those were mostly all Jewish men, by the way. Yeah. At Jekyll Island. That was.
I told you I got that video. I didn't have a chance to show it yet, though. Hang on. I got something. What was I going to pull up there? Oh, hang on. Spencer. Georgia, hang on. I'll be right with you. Hey, Spencer. Google, what is income? Hang on. Let's stop a minute. If I call Mark Trump and I said, hey, Mark, I need some help here with my computer system. Would you drive all the way up from down there in Virginia, help me out? Mark says, yeah, Coach, sure, I'd love to do that, Coach. I'd love to do that for you. Mark gets in his truck. He drives all the way up here with all his knowledge of computers and everything that he knows and the technology. And he's paying $3 a gallon. He drives all the way up here and gets a hotel, hangs out here for about 4 or 5 days and has to buy his meals and all that kind of stuff. And then when he leaves here, I give him $1,000. Mark, thanks for coming up here. How the hell is that income? He traded his knowledge for money. That ain't income. It cost him something. It's barter. I'll give you this service for free. And then, by the way, you want to give me a little bit of money? Let's make that deal. Oh, no. That becomes income. So the Bible says, whatever, know this. Income, listen and think. Income is any money or value received, often from work, goods, or investments, including wages, profits, interest, rent, or benefits, and is categorized as earned or unearned, forming the basis for personal and business finances and taxation. Key types include wages and salaries. That's not earned. Folks, you traded your labor for money. You didn't earn it. Investment earnings, I got some coins that are worth more because you have illegally inflated the money. The coin isn't worth anymore. The dollar ain't worth a damn. And government benefits unearned, with differences between gross income before deduction. They get to tell you how much of yours you can claim. Aren't they nice? Here, here, you can have, hey, you can have $3,700 as your what do they call that? Not dividend, deduction. Here, you can have, we'll let you have $3,700 as your deduction. How the hell do we get here? George Howard, come on in.
All I'm going to say is the Khazarian Zionist.
Oh, there you go, you anti-Semite. You're not allowed to talk about them. You're not allowed to talk. Jesus, by the way, called them the money changers, did he not? Hey, Spencer, that would be good. Look, Google that real quick. Who was Jesus referring to when he said money changers? Jesus was referring to the merchants of money changers in the temple. Courtyard who exploited worshipers by charging exorbitant fees for exchanging foreign currency. These businessmen, along with those selling animals, operated in the Gentile courts, turning a holy place of prayer into a den of robbers. Isn't that what Jesus said? Den of robbers, thieves. Isn't that what he said? Jesus' actions were driven by righteous indignation against the corruption of the temple authorities, which allowed this extortion. Somebody help me. Who were the temple authorities? Who were the temple authorities that Jesus chased out with a whip? By the way, it cost him his life.
Hey, Coach. I'll help you here. What was really going on with those money changers is that there was a law in the last chapter of Leviticus that said that once something was devoted to the Lord, it couldn't be bought back. And if you tried, you owed a fifth more plus that back anyway. Mm. And so they brought something into the temple. Once it was brought into the temple, it was the Lord's. And they tried to buy it back and exchange it for money. And that's unholy. You can't turn back on the Lord once that word goes forth. And they were trying to do that, and that's just strictly forbidden. Jesus called them out for it.
So this is Google. This is Google. Google says the purpose of the money changers is they provided a necessary service for visitors off of distant lands to exchange foreign currency for the required half shekel temple tax. What? Temple tax? The problem, see, these merchants were accused of fraud and greed and selling animals for sacrifices at inflated prices and exploiting poor pilgrims in the temple. They set up their tables in the temple's court of the Gentiles. So they weren't doing it to their fellow parishioners. They were doing it to the Gentiles, which hindered non-Jews from finding a place to worship. Wow. The incident occurred during Passover, a time when the temple was packed with worshipers. Jesus' actions were driven by righteous indignation against the corruption of the religious leaders, temple authority, which allowed this extortion. They called taxation extortion. Do I have any friends left out there? Any friends left? Does anybody got, nobody got their hand up? Nobody wants, huh? Nobody wants to say amen or oh my?
Amen, so what amen, we see going amen.
On, see, what we see going on, again, what we see going on, what we see going on in Minneapolis is they are covering for the money changers. Do you understand it? They're covering for the money changers. Billions of dollars have been stolen by government officials. Okay, hang on. I got a good pull up number nine. Pull up number nine. No, tell me that's not it. That's not number nine, is it? There you go. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Go ahead.
Good afternoon, America. Please excuse the voice. I'm a little under the weather. But I want to give you all these company names, pay rates, and all that. Putting this out there, I thought about it a lot. I don't want to help none of these loonies get jobs, but at the same time, I would love these companies shut down, so we're going to put it out there. First, I'm going to give you the names of a lot of the companies I found. I'll explain where I got these names, and then we'll go through pay rates. All right, first we have, going down the list, Working Families Party. Black Voters Matter.
Folks, these are NGOs that she found online where you can go to work in Minneapolis for one of these NGOs and get paid. That's what she's giving you right now, is the names of these non-governmental organizations. Go ahead.
Next Gen America, OutreachTeam.net. I took notes, y'all. CrowdsOnDemand.com, Crowdsource.com, Change.org, MoveOn.org, Greenpeace USA, Acorn, People's Action, Indivisible, and Sunrise Movements. Now, you can find these jobs on all of the platforms that you'd go on, like Indeed and ZipRecruiter and anything like that. Now, they do have different levels, and they have different pay rates. I hear the dogs barking. Like, the pay rates we'll go over. Canvasser, which I'm assuming is just someone that's on the canvassing up and down with the signs or whatever. They make, depending on company, $18 to $30 an hour. Then we have the field organizers. That's the next category up. That's $22 to $38 an hour, depending on company. And then we have lead organizers. They make $30 to $45 an hour. Now, I'm assuming the field organizers are the ones you see in the yellow vest, and then the people they have to talk to would be the lead organizers. Now, like I said, you can get any of these jobs on the local job sites like Indeed, ZipRecruiter, and so on. Not their fault. I have a small business. You can advertise on there. They don't check things like that. You're advertising for employees. But yeah, they would be the words you look it up. I think this is crazy. Lord, to be paid protesters. I get so many emails and so many private messages from people that are actually in the danger zone up there in Minnesota and all that. And they tell me, we're not like that. This ain't us. And I know it's not them. So don't blame the actual people there. Blame the leadership. Blame these paid protesters. A lot of them are coming from the next town over because they're these crazy leftists that go on and get these jobs. So, hey, warning people, let's get these companies shut down. Have a great day.
Wow. So Spencer, bring up a picture of protesters. Did I already show you this? Mugshots? It's one of my censure spins. Okay, bye. Picture of protesters. Folks, these are the people being paid to protest. And why are they paying them? Because they want to cover the corruption. There they are. Some of the people arrested for obstruction of DHS operations in Minneapolis. Do you think any of them, pardon me, do you think any of them give a shit about America? Look at them. They're being paid to protest. And what's the government doing in Minnesota? Doing everything they can to protect them. And why are they trying to protect them? Because they're distracting from the fraud and money that the government has stolen. This is unbelievable, isn't it? Hey, friends, what do you think the percentage of your friends know any of this? They're just watching the media. Oh, they're shooting innocent people up in Minnesota. They ain't even from Minnesota. Go on, Dale and Martin.
Yeah, well, you know, there are people on the web, you know, throwing out their ideas that this guy, blah, 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 should never been. And I say, you know, from my position, I preached from this from my pulpit yesterday. I said, you know, I've not talked about Minnesota, and I'm not here to tell you to take sides, but I've been in hundreds across this nation protest. Are we not right, Coach? With hundreds of people from all over the country, hundreds of them, standing peacefully with biblical understanding why Amen. We are there. Never once, Coach, maybe you can correct me, never once have I ever seen any of us, of the hundreds and thousands who've been out with us, sprayed, maced, thrown to the ground, beaten. Even if we carry out there, I've never seen any of us insert ourselves in a law enforcement legal arrest of a child rapist, right, to try to stop it. Never have I seen us do any of these ungodly acts. So the thing is, Coach, has said, if you're not going with the mind of Christ, and what were we doing? Oh, I know. We were defending little baby boys who were being legally murdered in the eyes of law, and we're defending them. And we're not acting so unbecoming, shoving. Do we shove any officers? Coach, hundreds of protests, federal courthouses.
Sat with your hands folded and your knees bent in front of the building.
That's exactly it, Coach. And so when a person gets emotionally charged, and I've got the testimony from his parents has told him, do not go out and do something stupid.
That's right.
Well, hey, stupid
Dale,
is.
Dale, did you ever conceal carry outside of an abortion clinic?
I'd have to take the fifth at that moment right now, Coach, to say that. Okay. But I will say this. I've had a gun point to my head, and I shared that testimony too. I said, have you ever – I've had a gun pointed at my head out in an abortion clinic and had my life threatened that if I came near him, he was going to blow my brains out. And you know what, Dale, the officer –
Did you ever do that when confronting a police officer?
No. That's the whole thing, Coach. It's like if – well – and here's the whole thing. Everybody's saying, well, first off, you know, when he was asked prior to the scuffle, he was asked for his ID because he was carrying, open carrying, and they knew he was carrying. And yep. And it's by law, you're required to state, they don't know who you are while you're carrying. And if they approach you and ask you your name, they got the right to ask you. I'm just telling you, you might hate that, but there it is. That's what it is.
So Dale, if you were one of those government cops or not, whatever. You think you'd feel safe if some guy around you with a gun?
It raises an alert. And I have the federal post on this, and this is the whole thing. We got to take all the emotional factor out of this. The fact that this guy was carrying and he was questioned for an ID and he's refused. So he's already got two strikes against him. But the officers were making a legal arrest on a illegal citizen who was not only an illegal person, not only illegal, but he had committed crimes. And I believe I'm talking like assault and all these other things. This guy inserted himself in an investigation with a gun. The cops don't know who he is from Adam. Right.
These people aren't even from Minnesota.
Dale, you're not protesting right if you're not getting sprayed. Hey, I love you, Dale.
And if you don't have green hair, will you get yourself some green hair, please?
Blue hair, blue, green. But I just wanted to say,
get some
earrings
and some nose rings.
Hey, yeah, get some of those fake tats and put them on you, man. You're in like Flynn. Hey, when NATO come to Dayton, Ohio, Coach, I went out there and protested. And I got to tip my hat to some of these lefties. They had that big baby Donald Trump there all blown up. Anyway, there was somebody walking around, dude, walking around handing out stickers. They handed one to me that said, not paid to be here. Because I was protesting the mRNA COVID-19 shots.
Yep.
And the lefties left me alone because they knew it was killing them too. But yeah, I had to tip my hat to the one that walked around with the stickers.
That's a great point. Hey, Martin, those of us who didn't want to take the COVID shot, we weren't out fighting against the police and all that kind of stuff, were we? No, sir.
I don't remember those.
How about those J6ers? Oh, they weren't either, except they... the government shot at them first. Oh, I get it.
God bless you, Coach, for all you do, brother.
Folks, it's a big psyop. It's a big psyop. Always follow the money. See you, Mark.